I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I've been joined, I believe, live via Zoom by a fine guest. He is Bill McCashin. Bill, I don't know what to call you anymore, man. I'm just calling you a Republican friend. How you doing, Bill?
I'll take that, Mike. How are you? I'm good.
I'm excellent, Bill. I've been hearing some crazy talk during the news breaks. Rumor on the street is your former boss and buddy, Tommy Thompson, considering a run for Wisconsin governor. We talked about that briefly prior. Seems like he's getting a little closer in his deliberations, Bill.
Well, I think what he said when he was in the assembly yesterday, by the way, for your listeners, he was so honored by what the assembly did in a bipartisan fashion. They passed a couple resolutions honoring his service, not only as governor, but as interim president of the UW system. And then they named the assembly parlor after him. So he was tickle pink when I talked to him last night, but he did get asked some questions about, you know, potentially running. And what he said was he isn't going to rule it out, but he's not going to make a decision until right before the Republican convention in May. He's going to take the month of April sort of off. He's done at UW system on March 18th and take some time off, hopefully go down south, get a little sun and relaxation and see where the race stands at that point. Do I think he's going to run? I think I said last time on your show, I don't think he's going to run. That's still where I lean, but, you know, he's the only one that can say for sure.
Well, Bill, I think if he did run, I think he'd immediately jump to the front runner status on the Republican side. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I think you're 100% right. I can tell you without a doubt that he is the most popular political figure in Wisconsin today, and it's not close.
Well, I'd like to think I'm trying to make it close, but, you know, I never served in any public office. Bill McCashin, my GOP buddy and fine guest for the rest of this hour. Hopefully, Bill, if you can stick around that long.
Yep,
why don't talk about the guy who did make his big announcement last Saturday. We've been calling him Ram Jam. I'm going to overturn the 2020 election and perhaps every election back to 1996. Representative Tim Rantham. What'd you think of Rantham's big splash entry?
Well, it already knocked out one candidate, right? Jonathan Wickman changed from running for governor to running for lieutenant governor. So Rantham's entrance into the gubernatorial primary has knocked out one potential candidate already. I see him more as being a disruptor. I don't see a path for him to win the nomination. There's just a narrow fraction of Republicans who think that the election could be decertified. By the way, it can't. There's no legal way to do that. It's not constitutional nor legal. There's no way to do that. So if his entire campaign is built on that, it's a pretty narrow base to work with and not nearly big enough to even be competitive in a Republican primary.
I'm less convinced, Bill. I'm not sure that Rantham, as of this moment in history, he might be the front runner. He comes with the support, apparently, of Donald Trump. If Trump makes a public proclamation, if only he had a Twitter stream still, but if he puts out a public endorsement of Rantham, Rantham's going to see a big boost in fundraising, and he is going to have the adoration of the Trump portion of the Republican Party. And whether or not you can overturn the last election, Bill, I think it's a much bigger percentage of Republicans that think it was rigged and, you know, maybe you can't overturn it, but that doesn't mean it wasn't stolen.
Oh, listen, first of all, I'm going to correct one thing you said, and I think it might be that you don't have the most current information, but Rantham was not endorsed by Trump. That is still up for grabs.
Yet.
Whether Clayfish could get it or Thompson could get it or Nicholson can get it, I think is an open question. But he has not endorsed Rantham. If he did, then I would agree with you, and all of a sudden Rantham would become a credible candidate. And I'll tell you why. The most important endorsement in the GOP primary is not Scott Walker. He endorsed Rebecca yesterday. It's Donald Trump. So whoever can get that, is going to have a leg up to win the GOP primary on August 9th.
Now, you talk about Rebecca Clayfish, and, you know, if you had asked me a month ago, I'd have said, well, she's clearly the Republican favorite. She was the lieutenant governor under Scott Walker, and, of course, she got her former boss's endorsement this week. And, you know, she's telegenic, she's smart, she communicates well. But I thought she perhaps started her campaign tacting a little too far to the right. Well, if anything, Bill, I think she's going to have to tack back to the center, at least in response to Rantham. And I'm not quite sure what Nicholson's lane is, but he's definitely throwing shade her way already.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So there's definitely an establishment lane. Rebecca's got pole position in that. There's an outsider lane. That's the lane that Kevin is trying to come up. The energy, frankly, is more on the insurgent or the outsider campaign right now. Not to say she's the front runner. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think she has closed the deal yet. I think there's a long way to go between now and August 9th. And, you know, frankly, if Tommy Thompson or an actual outsider, somebody who hasn't run for office in recent years with a lot of money that can self-fund, gets in this race, you know, they could be competitive potentially too.
Bill McCoshin, my fine guest, GOP buddy of mine. Bill, do you still envision perhaps an Eric Hovde or a well-heeled Republican thinking, you know, it's time. I'm getting in. It's a broad enough primary now. It could only take 25% to win that primary.
I think it's going to take 35 to win it. Even if it's four people in there, just to be safe, that's the math you got to do as a campaign manager. Probably how do you build a coalition to get to 35? I think Eric Hovde is a legitimate candidate, and there's no question he could self-fund. If he decided to get in, he could stroke a $10 million check on day one. And, you know, Rebecca's raised three. Kevin, I don't know what he's raised so far, but there, you know, it appears Dick Uihlein is willing to fund his super PAC, which is a very big advantage for Kevin, for sure. But Hovde could level that playing field overnight with his own money. So he doesn't have to rely on other people. So a self-funder or a Tommy Thompson could get in later than somebody who's got to raise all the money themselves, like Clayfish does. So, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of the entrants into this race. The other guy that's been mentioned in the recent days anyway is Tim Michaels. He's one of the brothers that runs the Michaels Pipeline Corporation out of Brownsville. Ran for U.S. Senate back in 2006, I believe, or it might have been 2004. Former Army Ranger, run a very successful company. And, you know, he and his brothers were big donors to Donald Trump. So that's a name that's now circulating in GOP primary circles. So, again, Rebecca today, no question, she's the front runner. Kevin is running a hot insurgent campaign against her. And we're going to see how that plays out over the next 30 or 60 days.
Well, Kevin Nicholson entered the race by basically casting shade at Rebecca Clayfish. At least that was my thought, trying to, you know, knock the queen off the throne at this point. She responded yesterday on a radio interview up in Wausau. She was calling the guy a shapeshifter and an opportunist. And, you know, I'm not sure that she's so far from wrong. But did you expect to see a defensive and perhaps an aggressively offensive Rebecca Clayfish coming out swinging?
I would have handled it a little bit differently had I been advising her. But I think she has to fight back. If she doesn't, then the allegations that Kevin is leveling against her will stick, right? So she has to fight back. I probably would have done it slightly differently than she did. But I think it was inevitable that this was going to get into a food fight, a family fight. You know, it happened a little sooner than I expected. But, you know, I think it will ultimately make, and this is where I differ with a lot of people in the Republican Party. I've said on your show, I've said in newspaper articles, I've said on public TV, I'm a believer in primaries because I think they make the general election candidate stronger. And as it relates to gubernatorial elections, the only four times in history where an incumbent has lost, they have been defeated by somebody who first won a competitive primary. And let me give you two names that your audience will absolutely recognize. Tony Evers is the most recent. There have been two Democrats and two Republicans. Another one of the guys in that list is Tommy Thompson, won a competitive primary. Scott Walker won a competitive primary, but that was for an open seat, so I can't count that. But the history says a competitive primary as it relates to gubernatorial races is the best path, frankly, on both sides of the aisle. Now, you're going to hear from others that'll say, well, U.S. Senate primaries, it hasn't been the model. Well, that's true. That's a different race completely. And those races are often dictated by external forces, meaning outside money. Gubernatorial races generally are funded internally in the state of Wisconsin, with some minor exceptions. So as it relates to gubernatorial elections, history has proven that competitive primaries are a good thing, not a bad thing.
Now, Bill, I know you're not on the Tony Evers team, but Tony gave his State of the State address earlier this week, and I guess it was on the 15th. It was on Election Day, and, you know, yep, brought out the band, and everybody loves that part. But what did you think of Tony's, you know, call for a special session, which, of course, Republicans will ignore? But what did you think about Tony's pitch for reelection?
So I'm going to give you the good and the bad, Crute. So I thought it was touching and authentic how he gave a shout out to his wife on their 50th or upcoming 50th anniversary. I thought that was, I don't think it was political in the least. I think it was authentic and it came across really, really well. So I give the governor two thumbs up on that. I think he did what he had to do as it related to the laundry list of things he spent federal monies on. Since the pandemic, he went through a list of, you know, from transportation to, you know, broadband to a variety of other things. And that's a pretty normal thing to do in a state of the state. Where I think he missed the mark, I don't think he talked about the key issues that people are talking about at their kitchen table. And those are as follows. Inflation would be number one. Rising crime would be number two. And believe it or not, election integrity is the number one issue on some polling I've seen in recent weeks in the state of Wisconsin. He didn't talk about any of those three. There was one slight mention of inflation when he said, you know, that tax cut I signed into law last summer, hopefully that'll help alleviate, you know, the inflation that you're facing now. I don't think that's good enough. I think they want the public, the voters want answers. And some of this is going to be federal. And by the way, two things I'm going to say that you talked about. Joe Biden's going to ultimately be a drag on Tony Evers. There's gravity, political gravity, that's working against him. In the last 30 gubernatorial elections in Wisconsin, only one person has been reelected when their party controlled the White House. Shocking, I'm sure, to your listeners, that person was Tommy Thompson. In 1990, George H.W. Bush was the president of the United States. He's the only one in the last 30 elections who has won re-election when his party had the White House. So the political gravity is not on Governor Evers' side. The other thing working against him is the right direction, wrong track number. It's way upside down, as worse as I've ever seen it. And ultimately, that becomes a drag on incumbents. And lastly, I'll say this. Joe Biden, his numbers. They're okay in Wisconsin. They're not, trust me, they're not anywhere near 50, but they're better than they are nationally. But ultimately, that's going to be a drag on Governor Evers, I believe, too. And the last thing I'm going to say that you mentioned, on the special sessions, I think that was risky for the governor, because if you're scoring this at home, he has called 9 special sessions. He is 0-for-9. He hasn't gotten a single bill passed in any of those. He's the only governor in history to get nothing passed in the special sessions that he's called, which speaks to his relationship or lack thereof with the legislature. But now he's going to go 0-for-10. They're going to gavel in and gavel out that special session. You heard it here first, Crute. He's going to go 0-for-10 on special
sessions. Bill, every time Tony tries to lay down the bunt like the coach told him to, Robin Voss sticks one in his ear. Bill, you got a few more minutes on the other side?
I do.
All right, come on back. More Devils with my GOP buddy, Bill McCashin.